Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show, superlative co-host. Joe McGranahan is here. Rob Center is fabulous in every way. There's just no other way to measure it. He's on the other side of the glass as our producer. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. You can call us 1-800-795-5965. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. Today, first person who will utilize the news line will be State House member Fred Keller, wearing a State House representative hat. He's going to serve, at least initially, as a clearinghouse for information as it relates to the Woodmode layoffs and the services that are available to those individuals. So he'll be first up on our show. Then at 9 o'clock this morning in our studio, Kimberly Best, who is an incumbent Northumberland County Commissioner and independent, and she is running for office again. So we'll hear from her in the hour ahead. Throughout our program, you're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 702-3636. And so we invite you to use our Text Connect system. WKOK News Time, it is now 8:34. State House member Fred Keller is on the line. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Mark. I guess Joe's with you this morning. I didn't hear him. Maybe he's not. But,
no, I'm here. He just doesn't turn on my microphone anymore.
Well.
You got to live with this, Fred.
He's too conservative.
Well, right now, I think there's the most important issue is making sure that we have resources available to help the employees and families of the employees of Woodmode and whatever we can do. And I just wanted to start out by saying it was just heartbreaking news yesterday. The news about the closure at Woodmode and the fact that all the families are now going to be needing some help. And I would say that we've been working. Linda Culver, Senator Gordner, the county commissioners, and myself have been working with the Department of Labor to make sure that we have resources available, and also with some nonprofits and so on, with the Wolf administration, also to make sure resources are available. And I would like to just give out a little bit of information. The coordinated effort between Senator Gordner, Linda Culver, and myself is you can contact any one of our legislative offices. Senator Gordner's office is in Shamokin Dam at the municipal building. Their number is 570-743-1918. Linda Culver's office is in Sunbury on Arch Street, 106 Arch Street. Her phone number is 570-286-5885. And we also have the district office in Mifflinburg at the Mifflinburg Government Center at 343 Chestnut Street. And our phone number is 570-966-0052. In addition to that, the PA Career Link in Sunbury is at 225 Market Street on a third floor. And their phone number is 570-988-7300. And we are going to make sure that we have these things posted prominently on our website today so that if people do need help or need to know where they can go for any kind of help, whether it's with the Career Link or just where they can get services, they can give any one of us a call and contact our office. And we are more than willing to make sure we get out the resources necessary.
Fred, I think it's great. I think it's great that you guys are doing all that. But I'd like to ask you another question with respect to the notice that Woodmo put out. They said that their primary source of funding refused to give them any more money while they attempted to find another buyer who had actually signed a letter of intent to purchase earlier in the week. Is there any state help available for Woodmo to give them some kind of bridge financing so they can go back in operation and pursue the sale of the company?
Well, I know there had been, I know there had been some discussions. So not being a principal in Woodmo and knowing what help anybody looked for, I'm not in a position to comment on, what Woodmo is looking for, what they're trying to do. I would hate to speculate on that.
But my question was whether or not there's any state financing available for something like that, where a company is forced with either shutting down or, getting some short-term borrowing. The state does a lot of things. Do they have any program along those lines?
I guess what I could say is Senator Gordner, Linda, and I have been working with the governor to make sure that we have all the resources necessary to help the situation.
Did you have any advance notice of this as a House member or just as a Snyder, a nearby resident? Did you see this kind of a thing coming?
Well, if you look at the story in the paper, just in March, I think Marcia Moore had written a paper in a story in the Daily Item that they said, they weren't for sale, and this is what they were going to do. Looking back on some of that, sometimes you hear rumors and, you try to find out what you can. But, just as early as this past March, there was a story put out by Woodmo or by the Daily Item. I guess they talked to people at Woodmo, and they had never indicated that the situation, or at least in that story, it wasn't put out that the situation was as dire as closing the doors.
We started to hear about the governor's rapid response team. What does that entail? Explain what some of the facets of that are.
Well, the rapid response team is to make sure that we have the resources deployed to help the employees of Woodmo with whatever state resources would be available. In a place to set up. I know Joe Kantz at the commissioners would. The East Snyder Building would be available for any location that need be. I know sometimes it goes at the location where the business is. I don't know what that entails, but we would make sure that there's a place available. And right now, we're having people go to the Career Link, for services as far as whether it be unemployment compensation, whether it be job looking for a job or looking for job training and so forth, moving forward.
The reason I'd like to, ask the question about whether or not there was any state funding as a kind of like a bridge to get them back in operation while they look for a buyer, is the economic impact on the valley. It's a terrible impact on the people who work there, but it's also an impact on the valley. And I saw in the news this morning that the Midwest School District has suspended a tax increase because they're concerned about the fact that people are going to be extra hard hit without jobs. Would you comment a little bit on what you see as the economic impact to your district and to the valley as a whole?
Well, when you look at Woodmo being a privately held company that employs, are employed, 900 plus individuals with families, it's not just not that location, but it's the goods and services in not just Snyder County, but in the surrounding counties that could be impacted by this. So, it is a concern, but being a privately held company, you don't always get the information from a privately held company that you would if it would be a publicly traded company. So there are some differences there as far as what may have been communicated or may not have been communicated prior to this. And again, I point back to the fact that earlier on, just a couple months ago, when the paper did a story on this, nobody had indicated how imminent this might be.
Some of the people reported in stories I read and heard on the air that there have been changes recently to the health insurance and other changes at the company that led the employees to believe something was afoot. Did they miss anything that they should have done with respect to informing you? You said you weren't aware of it, and you just said that as a privately held company, they don't distribute information as much as a publicly held company would. Do you think they missed the boat here in not letting people know how bad it was?
Well, Joe, not being a principal in the company and not being an employee of the company, I would hate to speculate on what they did or did not, communicate. Right now our point isn't to be, looking at second-guessing how somebody should have or could have done something. Our main focus right now is making sure that the people that worked at Woodmode and their families have the resources that are available from not just the Commonwealth, but also from the county and the federal government.
Well, the reason I ask that is they did apparently have time to notify the state police, the sheriff's office, and other law enforcement agencies. I kind of think that was, in a certain way, disrespectful to the employees to assume that there might be trouble when they got the news. I think most of the employees realized that they had a job based on the company's ability to succeed, and when the company could no longer succeed, they might not have a job.
Yeah, well, I would hate to comment on why, they had services there as far as, the law enforcement. I'm not trying to second-guess any decision that was made or say it was right or wrong. I'm simply saying that, as a person that's elected to represent people, when I'm made aware of a situation, I get all the resources around it that we can to make sure that we can be as helpful as possible. And that's really our role as people in government. When we're made aware of a situation, we need to make sure that whatever resources we have and whatever we can do, we do.
What might be the ripple effect of this? We think of Bingham & Son Lumbers that was not a partner company, but certainly one of their main customers was Woodmode. Who else gets impacted by this? When you have people that are working, a family-sustaining job, then unemployment, drawing unemployment and changing jobs, who's impacted by that downturn?
Well, I think that there's a lot of impacts that direct impacts, which of course we're seeing right now, and then some indirect impacts would be from people that either sold Woodmode's products, not just in Pennsylvania but across the nation, because they're no longer selling Woodmode products, and also suppliers, people that supplied goods and services to the company, and that's certainly going to depend upon how much of a company's business went to Woodmode. I know a lot of companies are diversified in who their customer base is. And when I was at Conestoga, we looked at strategies to make sure that we didn't always have too many eggs in one basket, because you realize things can happen. So I'm thinking that many of the people that did business look at those things and would do what they could to mitigate a catastrophic, having too many, so to say, too many eggs in one basket and trying to be more diversified.
All right, to make sure that you're able to withstand this. All right, well, we'll give you a closing comment. Anything additionally? State House Member Fred Keller.
Well, I would just say, again, I would like to reiterate the fact that, a lot of good people, with this terrible news of yesterday, a lot of good people's lives have been changed. And I know that they're hardworking, they're intelligent people, and we need to do as government everything we can to provide resources. And that is, working together with the county, which we've been in contact with the county, Senator Gordner, Representative Culver, myself, the Wolf administration. We have all been working together to make sure that we can put as many resources to help the people. And I would just say that if anybody has any questions, and Mark, if you could, maybe I can email you or text you these phone numbers and what they go with, and if you guys could help with that on your website, that would also be helpful.
Sure, we're setting up an information page, so we'll put that on there. And anything else you send our way, links. We put Senator Gordner's Department of Labor and Industry link up there, so we'll keep that going. All right, we'll keep in touch. Thank you so much, State House Member Fred Keller. Very
Thanks,
much
Fred.
Appreciate it.
Take
Thanks
care.
For calling in. House Member Fred Keller, of course, lives in the Cramer area, and it is his legislative district as he helps in the day one after the 800 layoffs at Woodmote. If you have a comment or a question, feel free to call us now. 1-800-795-9565. We'll take all comers, just folks that want to express information or concern. We'll take that. We have some, as always, we have other issues of the day we can discuss, but we'll stay on this subject for the moment. So call us now with your remark, 1-800-795-9565. You can do as one individual has done on this topic, and that is to email us. Emails should be sent to onthemark@wkok.com.
And it's out of here!
Hit a home run of a deal with SMC. Sunbury Motors Ford has incredible May deals that will have you cheering too. Just listen, Ford's MVP, the top-selling 2019 F-150 truck, has 0% financing for up to 72 months. Plus, save up to $13,000 off. And SMC has 65 to pick from. 2019 Ford Escape start at $17,485. And SMC has 47 to choose from. Take $7,500 off 2019 Ford Explorers, $8,000 off 2019 Ford Edges and Echo Sports, and a whopping $8,500 off 2019 Ford Escapes. And you can hit a grand slam with up to $12,000 off Ford Expeditions. In May, SMC is better than the ballpark. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
The Sunbury Motor Company's our umbrella sponsor, a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane. Do as I do. Get your inspections done at the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They can get your vehicle ready for trips. Maybe you got a spring road trip planned, or you're going shopping at a distant location. Well, they will do a trip check for you. Check the belts and hoses and fluids, and make sure that they're good to go. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections. They'll pump you up with nitrogen, and they're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. They can handle the alignment. If you need that done, get some body work done, get the vehicle washed. Maybe you need parts for the vehicle. They got a big parts shop there. SunburyMotors.com, the place to go to find out more information about the Sunbury Motor Company, our umbrella sponsor of WKOK's On the Mark program.
Well, as we were talking off mic, I'll go back to this, and you made an excellent point that if somebody wanted to start a company in Snyder County that would employ 800 people, the state would be all over them with grants and money and assistance
tax
and help.
Tax incentives.
Tax incentives. But why is it that when a company that does employ 800 people has a problem where apparently if the company is, you know, being honest in what they put out, that the fact that their primary lender refused to extend them any more time while they pursued the sale to a company that had signed a letter of intent or expressing an interest in buying it, you know, it seems to me that that's wrong. I mean, I think that there should have been some funding in place to help the company over this short period of time. Maybe you have to go to the state with your hat in your hand and say, look, send in the auditors. Here are our books. You know, this is what we're seeing. But we want to keep these 800 jobs. We want to keep these people employed. We just need a little help in the short term. Seems to me that we should be spending some of our state money to do that rather than sending the governor's quick response team to pick up the pieces after the Humpty Dumpty has hit the floor.
Well, and the other thing is, it is a privately held company, as Mr. Keller said, so therefore they could be paddling, you know, like the duck on the pond. They're paddling like crazy underneath. You just don't see it. Maybe they're in Harrisburg. Maybe they're in Washington.
They could
they're
be.
Working, you know, they could be working with the president and the governor and their people to try to get some bridge funding.
But the time to do it was before they shut down and put 800 people out on the street.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, no argument there. And, you know, we know that there's demand for Woodmote products, so some company of some size could operate. Is it 800 people? Well, clearly that doesn't seem to be the right fit for the amount of cost that's associated with that right now. But how about a 400-people company? You know, whatever it may be, I think it's important that, you know, that somebody step forward. And I think, you know, my intuition on this is that this is just the beginning. You know, what we're talking about, some sort of bridge funding, some sort of a smaller Woodmote will emerge from this. Maybe this seemed to them, you know, the only pivot point that was possible would be a shutdown and then a, not a reorganization, but, a, you know, sort of a rebuild to take existing orders where you know that they exist, amass those, then hire a staff, or, you know, recall the size staff that will start to crank those orders out. Yeah, you're right. I just think that this is the speciality of government, is to keep things going. This is highly unusual that a company just shuts down like this.
Well, without notice or without any kind of a pre-warning, it would seem to me that they could have reached out, the company could have reached out looking for that kind of help in advance.
Well, I'm sure once
from
the
government.
I'm sure once the president finds out about this, he's going to say that there's, you know, there's got to be federal resources that come to bear. Woodmode is sort of the quintessential manufacturer that he talks about. You know, all American. It's American employees. It is American lumber. It's grown around right. here.
Well, and the governor,
know, Pennsylvania lumber.
The governor actually toured the plant. He actually toured the plant last year.
Oh, that was last year. I remember that, yeah.
So
it wasn't a campaign stop either.
No, it wasn't.
It was just to, I forget what the main purpose of that. But in any event, yeah, he was there. We sent a reporter out there. All right, we got a caller on the line on the topic of Woodmode. Read this email that's in the center screen, if you don't mind, please.
It says, Woodmode is listed as the largest employer of their products in the U.S. With all the company bailouts by our government over the years, why can't they help these people, this company, this county, and our state? God sure knows they need it.
All right. Well said. Thank you. Tom, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, just an idea here, but because I know companies do this. They may want to get rid of the employees, like the place is closed, so the next guy can buy it, and then they'll hire the people back at lower wages. A lot of companies do that. A lot of places will do this when they get in a situation like this. So don't be too surprised if, you know, that doesn't happen.
Okay.
Well, I hope I'm not that cynical, so I hope you're wrong.
Well, the companies do that.
Well, yeah.
And I heard over at the races on Saturday, over at Seals Grove, a lot of people from Woodmode go over there. And they were talking about it Saturday night, so they knew this was coming. There wasn't no secret. People that work in factories know what's going on, because I worked in factories for a long time.
Yeah, we had the rumor. We kept trying to track it down. But again, you have a private company, and they, publicly speaking, they hold their cards close to the chest. But as you said, yeah, everybody knew. I mean, we kept getting calls in or texts here from people who work there, or emails saying, hey, you know, something's going on. They changed our insurance. You know, this is a precursor to, you know, another adjustment of the labor force.
Well, don't be too surprised if they don't, somebody doesn't buy it. Now that it's closed, and they'll hire the people back at lower wages. That companies do that. A lot of companies do that.
Okay. All right.
That's all I got to say.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Tom.
Mike, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I'm actually I've been rather busy, and I'm just catching up on this story. And there's a couple of questions I have. I heard that there was some funding that was, or you know, loans or something that were denied. And that is why the company just ran out of money to be able to pay the bills and had to shut down. Is that correct?
Well, their bank refused, or their primary lender, they didn't say it was a bank, their primary lender wouldn't extend them any more credit, even though they did have someone sign apparently a letter of intent interested in exploring the purchase of the company. And so when their primary lender wouldn't extend them enough credit to keep on going over that short term, they decided to shut down. That's the way I understand the story.
Okay, so a primary lender decided not to become further involved money-wise. That's what I would understand.
The crux of it, right.
Okay, so the question I have, is this particular employer, is this located in the district where we're having the special congressional race?
Yes.
Okay, so and people want to call me a conspiracy person, but I would think with the number of people involved, and from what I can tell, this is getting a lot of publicity. Could this affect the election?
Mm, I'm not certain. I mean, that's a big district. Snyder County is one part of it and not the largest part by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't think you can hold either Representative Keller or Mr. Friedenberg responsible for it. So I would doubt that it would, you know, although I did see some people attempting to turn it into politics yesterday. One person apparently not realizing that Mr. Keller didn't work for Wood Mode in his career. He worked for Conestoga Wood Products. Wrote something like, well, I guess this is the legacy of his great leadership there, you know. But Representative Keller had nothing to do with it. I mean, he's been very supportive of local business and industry.
Right, yeah. The point I'm trying to get at is maybe the people holding the purse strings have an interest in this election and seem to think that, you know, possibly withholding money for this one particular large firm, because 1,000, or well, I heard 1,000 was the number of employees. That's huge. Sure. But anyway, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there and get the real story on what's going on there. So basically, the company could not get future funding to continue operations, and now they're exploring possibly selling. Is that where it stands?
No, right. They were exploring selling before they closed it. They had one person, or one company or entity, who had expressed an interest in buying it and signed a letter of intent, but then they pulled out last week. And after they pulled out, they went back to their primary lender. This is as I understand it. And they had another group of people who were interested in buying, and they signed a letter of intent. And their primary lender wouldn't extend them the financial coverage for them to explore that second letter of intent.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. Thanks for the call. We can finish your questions and thoughts about 40 minutes from now. We'll start to get back to this topic. We get to meet one of the candidates for Northumberland County Commissioner up next on our show. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury WDKOK News Time. It is 9 a.m. CBS News. Then some local headlines coming up.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line will be open soon. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. We are glad to say that Kimberly Best is here, Northumberland County Commissioner. She has run as a Democrat in the past and has currently running as a Democrat, but has been an independent. And when I said, you are a Democrat, you were quick to say, well, I am independent, but of course running as a Democrat on the ballot. So welcome aboard.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you so much coming in. One term so far on Northumberland County Commissioner's Board. We'd be remiss if we didn't continue our conversation a little bit about Wood Mode. You're monitoring this. Of course, you're one of the leaders in a county that's impacted by this. You know, hundreds of people affect Northumberland County every day. You thought about the Wood Mode, the shutdown yesterday.
You know, I think that the families, obviously, I just feel so much for them. And, you know, while Wood Mode is in Snyder County, that employer employs nearly 900 people throughout the entire valley. I mean, people live and work in Northumberland County that travel there, clients, friends, family I have that work there. And as an elected official, when you hear something like that, it really, it's like a punch in the stomach, because this is everything that we try to do as elected officials, is try to bring jobs, promote jobs, sustain jobs, help companies to the extent that we can. So something like this, and seemingly without warning, is just difficult. It's difficult.
And I'm sorry.
It's a private company, so we're not privy to them paddling like crazy underneath, so we don't know what's really happening.
Very true. Very true. But, I mean, I relate this to when the cheese factory in Sunbury in Northumberland County caught fire, and there was some discussion about that company perhaps not rebuilding in Northumberland County, and they came forward with their concerns Republicans. And, you know, immediately, Senator Gordner, Legislator Colover, Northumberland County Planning Department, all sort of kicked into gear to see how they could help, whether it's incentives, whether it's help while they're rebuilding and getting their feet back on the ground, you know, whatever we could do. And we fought for them. Now, you know, we had the advantage of knowing, you know, something about it so that we could help them, and they wanted the help. So, you know, that might be the difference there. I mean, we don't, you know, as government, we don't want to step on private entities, but we certainly want to be there as a safety net for all those employees, almost 900 employees. And, you know, to the extent that Northumberland County can do anything, maybe there's overflow at the, I heard Representative Keller say that the Career Link in Sunbury would be accepting people to see if they could redirect them into other jobs or help them with unemployment applications. And I know that's a very small office there. To the extent that we can help, I've reached out to Linda and Representative Mosser, and I will make contact with the Career Link later today if we can help with space or phones or anything like that.
Well, you are a candidate for re-election to Northumberland County Commissioner. What is the role of commissioners, and particularly how do you see your role with respect to economic development in the county?
Well, we're here to provide a path and knowledge for any incentives or grants that might be there. We are also here to shoulder up against if there are any tax incentives that are on the books. We try to stay out of the way. I mean, I do personally. I try to stay out of the way of private government, but we also want to make Northumberland County as appealing as we can so it's as competitive as it can be when companies are looking from other states or even other countries we've had come in.
So to make Northumberland County competitive?
Sort of like sell it, you know, advertise for it, hand them packages about the buildings we have, the locations we have, why it's a good place to live and grow and find employees. The other thing that government can help do is make sure that we have a workforce that can sustain a company that's looking to live and grow in Northumberland County. And that means, you know, partnering with higher education, with trade schools, you know, things like that.
Well, you've worked at sometimes at cross purposes with the chairman of the Northumberland County Commissioners, who is not seeking re-election. How do you see the county changing now that you're, I won't call him an antagonist, but you're the person that you least seldom agree with will not be serving on the board?
Well, you know, as you know, there are four Republicans running and four Democrats running for next week's primary election, and two Democrats and two Republicans will come out of that primary. And there is a lot on offer for voters. There's a lot of different personalities with a lot of different backgrounds, so anything's possible. And what I fear and am excited about both equally is the possibility of change. If you get the right mix in there, I think Northumberland County could continue on the path to turning the page on bitter politics.
You have a favored partner in the race, not necessarily a running mate per se. Who is that?
Oh, there's a Democrat running, Mr. Tom Aber. He's a former administrator for Milton School District, and I think he brings a lot to the table. His demeanor, the way that he contributes to our local community, he's been at every single meeting for the last 3.5 years. He is on the Northumberland County Recreation Committee, formerly on the Housing Authority. So he brings a lot to the table.
All right. So he's maybe somebody would think of. How would you summarize your leadership? You know, I can take a county commissioner around here and say, well, that individual is forward-thinking, or that one is sort of a traditional, you know, so everything's kind of a square peg kind of thing. How would you describe your leadership?
Well, supportive, like a supportive role. I think that I wasn't really given any leadership opportunities per se. And, you know, I understand that that's every majority's right to, you know, put forth how their board is going to play out over 4 years. But I tried to be supportive to the employees. I tried to be transparent with the constituents. I tried to gather as much information as I could and digest that for people. in the public. I tried to be very proactive with companies. I tried to develop a better, deeper relationship with our state representatives, so, and support their initiatives. So I think, you know, supportive, I think, would be better.
Well, originally, I got the impression that you might not be seeking reelection, and then you did decide to seek reelection, and of course, at one time, you became an independent. What changed your mind?
You're so right about that. I did not think that I would be running for reelection. I sort of lost hope somewhere along the way that I would be able to do anything with my time, any of my initiatives. I sort of took a wait-and-see approach as to who would throw their hat in the ring for to be a candidate this time around, and I was happy with some of the new candidates that have come forward and thinking about the possibility of what they can bring to the table.
Are you sometimes misunderstood?
I don't know. I don't. You know, it's funny when you ask someone that, they only see themselves. It's difficult to sort of be Mark Lawrence and say, this is how I see Kim Best. You know, I mean, I do read things on Facebook, so you get a little you get a little eye into that, how people perceive you. I do think sometimes I am perceived unfairly. I have the best intentions. I work hard. I care deeply about the community that I live in.
Right. And I think those are key comments that people should have made. I see it in the commissioner's meeting. Mm-hmm. You know, I see a group of people that may not agree when it comes to vote on some things, but 90% of the votes are in unison.
They
and,
are.
And 99% of the goals are the same.
Correct.
Everybody really wants to do what's best for the county. It's like your household finances, perhaps, or something else.
Right.
I can't think of an example. Or maybe the color of something at church, you know, the color of the carpet. You can't agree on it, but you all have the kind of the same mission. So,
right.
And I think that's important to bring out. Accomplishments, both during the time that you worked with Vinnie Clousey, the commissioner, and up to now, you can list things that you made happen.
You mean as a former employee?
As a former employee, and then as a commissioner.
Okay. Well, I've been involved with Northumberland County government for, oh my gosh, since 2003. I've been the county solicitor, the chief clerk, various solicitors, prison board solicitor, tax claim solicitor, public defender intern, court administrator intern. So I have a lot of experience to bring to the table. Some of the things that I'm most proud of is winning back the taxes for the Celotex that was going to be sold free and clear of any tax liens for the city of Sunbury and Northumberland County. It was almost $250,000.
Is that when you went to Florida to
Chicago?
Chicago. Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. I knew you had to travel. To be at a particular table, you had to be there.
Yeah, federal bankruptcy court. And so I was very proud of that. I was very proud to help Representative Kurt Mosser develop his dream for the AOAA. At the time, I was the chief clerk, so there was a lot of work to be done there. I see that program really starting to take off, and it's wonderful. It's going to be a good thing for Northumberland County. Some of the other things that I had as an initiative when I ran this time as for commissioner was, one, to be transparent, to develop a more professional decorum, to support an initiative for another community college coming into the area, and the prison. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad. So
prison didn't fall together as much in the way you had hoped.
Not as the way that I would hope. So let's start with that one, because that's sort of always the elephant in the room. You know, while it wasn't my initiative and it isn't the way that I would have directed Northumberland County, it is here. I do sit on a committee that meets once a month for an hour and a half that closely analyzes the bills, the employees, everything from maintenance of the buildings to the warranty of the buildings, staffing the buildings, those types of things. So I'm very involved with the prison at this point. And I'd like to see it succeed because it is there. It's in Northumberland County, and it's a responsibility that I have to own.
How's it going?
Better.
Okay.
Better. Some of the initial reasons that I had for not wanting to take on that size, that facility at that distance and that location, they've shown their face to be significant challenges. The committee it's a large committee, by the way. It's made up of probation officers, the warden, HR, Commissioner Schicchitano, myself, the controller, court administration, the sheriff's office. So this group of people gets together, and we really do try to solve the problems. The number one problem that we have is staffing levels, maintaining them, and retaining them. So that is the largest issue, which contributes to a lot of overtime right now.
Had a lot of personnel issues, too.
A lot of personnel issues. And that's because the staffing levels weren't up to a level where they needed to be to supervise all of the staff that we did have, or to train the staff that we have. So there's significant issues.
Well, it also has the opportunity to raise additional money for the county through these other leases that have been negotiated.
Yes, it can. And TrueCore was replaced with a company that I'm very excited to see go in, and I'm very supportive of that company. It's Diversified Treatment Alternative Centers, and their approach to their juvenile facility is not through juvenile delinquency. It is a sort of a mental health approach. So it will be a residential program that they will run up there. They get extremely high marks from the state. They have been having our kids and helping our kids in the Valley, Montour and Union County and Northumberland County for 27 years. So they have a footprint already. And they're held in high regard. So we're excited to have them on board. They're going to take over the former TrueCore facility.
Well, you have that space now pretty much underway.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But that leaves the Celotex site in
yes.
Sunbury hanging fire, as it has been hanging fire for the past several years.
Yes.
The current Board of Commissioners has done, in my estimation, fairly little in trying to market that site. Do you see any change in that?
I would, if I could, I would be marketing it in a major way. I don't understand why it is not being marketed. I've heard some comments from Chairman Schock saying that, you know, its best time is maybe later down the road. It'll be worth more. We can get more. But I'd like to market it, you know, yesterday. So I do see a future there in the next 4 years. There are some, you know, offline discussions about things that would go there.
Well, what did it cost the county? $3 million? That sticks in my
Two
head.
Million.
$2
million.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but then it was another $3 million to develop it as the future site for the Northumberland County Prison. So it's $5 million.
Five in it. What do you think it's worth?
Probably a million. It sold at auction for less than $1 million, and there was some foundational excavating and things done that was about $600,000, so about $1 million. But you know, it has a lot of challenges there.
Well, if you can meet those challenges, you certainly have an asset
right.
for the community and for the county as a whole.
Right.
But what do you think long range? What would you like to see go there?
Well, you know, it is a brownfield, so there are deed restrictions there as to residential issues. It could be cleaned up and contained. You know, jobs, anything that would employ people, I think you would see Northumberland County bend over backwards to develop Celotex. You know, another thought is having maybe a hospital or a facility like that go in there.
All right, we're going to open up the phone lines and email in basket if you have a question for Kimberly Best, Northumberland County Commissioner, wrapping up her first term in office. And you can call us now, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word. A place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. that hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trust Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, one of our listeners, Joe, in the midfield there.
Bob says, good morning. I just want to say thanks to Mrs. Best for all the great work she's done for our county and continues to do every day. Keep up the great job. Best of luck in the election.
That's
Thank you. I'm Bob.
And Bob is on the line. Good morning, Bob. Thanks for calling in. Different Bob.
Yes, good morning, everyone. From being a lifetime resident in Sunbury and, of course, going through my grandparents' property here and finding about the history of the area, now my father worked for Barrett, a division of Allied Chemical, and that's what I remember was up there at the Celotex site.
Yes, that was one of them, yes.
Yes, and then, of course, I guess before that was like Westinghouse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it more was devoted to manufacturing.
Yes, industry, heavy industry, you're correct.
All right, good questions. Yeah, thank you, Bobby. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, and it's all, you know, it's a good location.
It's a great location.
Oh, my gosh, it's crazy location. No argument there.
Thank you.
Yep, yeah, thanks for calling in. Very much appreciate it. Yeah, we're talking about the Celotex site. So the county is marketing it in somewhat of a limited fashion, so it is kind of out there?
Sort of on the out, you know, those that are in the know that it's available, but I would like to see a more aggressive approach to that.
We really go after that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Additional emails can be sent to onthemark@wkok.com, and if you have a question for Kimberly Best, Northumberland County Commissioner candidate, call us 1-800-795-9565.
Looking at the county's overall prospects now, are we better off as a county today than we were 4 years ago, and are we going to be better off 4 years from now?
All right, so I'll take the...
take the last 4 years first.
I'll take the last 4 years first. I think in some respects we are better off. I think that despite differences over the last 4 years, I do think that this board was... more professional, better able to communicate on the majority of topics, you know, stay out of negative press a little bit more than they had been in the past, and stick with the issues at hand, and sort of work inter-party, and also across the county, not favoring one region or the other, because it is so different. So I think in that respect, we are better off. Financially, I remain very concerned. It is going to be a challenge over the next 4 years to consolidate our debt better, to try to regionalize, to bring down the costs of the way that we run this massive now countywide north to south facilities that we have. We have over 23 facilities, you know, buildings that we have to maintain. It's a large concern. So that's going to be the biggest challenge. So over the next 4 years, we'll be better off. It depends. It depends who is elected. Can they work together? It isn't about party. We have to turn the page on that type of thinking. We have to get three individuals in there that have sort of similar goals.
Well, you are a busy person.
I am.
In addition to being a county commissioner, you are an attorney with a practice. You are also an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Obviously, being a full-time commissioner is not exactly defined by you the way other people might define it, right? Or am I wrong?
Well, I think you absolutely have to be an available full-time commissioner. In other words, it's not really a 9-to-5 job. It's an all-the-time job. So if something happens and you receive a call, you have to prioritize that call. If there's a special meeting, you have to change your other appointments that you have in your other businesses and attend that special meeting. Obviously, I calendar around the county dates to the extent that I can, and when things pop up, I prioritize that.
And other aspects of that you're running, if elected, I will push to do this or that. Human services, perhaps, consolidating some of these 23 facilities, which is a crazy number.
Public safety is the number one concern for the next 4 years for any candidate that is worth your vote out there.
And public safety to our audience involves 911 center.
911, but it also involves supporting our first responders, supporting our firefighters and our police officers in this development of our 911 digital age, okay? We in Northumberland County, I'm embarrassed to say, it has taken us the last 8 years to get up online where most counties, the federal mandate was to move towards digital communications following 9/11, 18 months to 2 years. We are going in our eighth year and $14 million, and it is not complete yet. And the problem with that is it's just like your iPhone. You buy an expensive iPhone, you want to buy sort of the most up-to-date one that you possibly can, because in a couple of years it's not going to be up-to-date. So the concern is a lot of the equipment was purchased, 8 years ago, or at least 7 years ago. The firefighters received their radios to go online for this digital communication. And so when you read in the paper about inoperability for mutual aid calls, like from surrounding counties that come in to help us, and these firefighters can't talk to each other, their radios, our firefighters' radios are 7 years old. So even by the time we get online, which is probably in the next month or so, we're already behind, and the equipment is behind. And firefighters who volunteer, they don't have the money in their departments to be able to upgrade. And then police have a different set of problems because they have a different set of radios altogether. So we have operability issues.
Didn't you buy some maritime frequencies? I remember that. That was about 8 years ago or so.
Yeah. That doesn't exactly relate to this problem. Two of the problems we had were two additional towers had to be put up, and that helped the signal strength throughout our county because we have a lot of varied landscaping, okay? And then the second problem is the equipment that was purchased is outdated and is required updated flash, like software upgrades, to be able to communicate with each other.
And the 911 center itself?
The 911 center itself, the facility is not great. And it doesn't lend itself to creating any revenue, like being a training facility. The staff are underpaid, they are undertrained, and we don't retain them. So once we do grab on to those good members and we train them, they often leave us. So that's another thing that we need to look at. Also, looking into the future, these upgrades and these towers are going to continue to cost millions and millions of dollars now that it's digital. We have got to go regional, like other counties have done, and there are great incentives to do so. So we've been talking to Schuylkill County, and I am going to be talking to Montour County about some of these possibilities.
Well, it's always hard to bail out what prior commissioners have done, and over the years, Northumberland County has had somewhat less than stellar management on a number of levels. Other times it's been rather good. But I look back to Commissioner Clausey, who was, his primary theme was cutting costs and saving money. Did he skimp on the 911 money? Should he have put more in and bitten the bullet?
Okay, so that's a tricky question. So he put out $7.8 million for his project. That would have covered his project as he designed it. What I believe the professionals are telling us that it was skimped on was not erecting two additional towers to help with the strength of the signal. So he put out enough money for the project that he saw it as it was going to be designed. When you add two more towers, it's going to cost more money. And that was a decision that this board made.
Well, it's still difficult because I know when my police get called over to Sunbury, they have trouble communicating.
It's terrible. They have Kenmore radios, and the Kenmore radios do not work well with the Motorola radios. And everybody's going, Kenwood. Thank you.
Kenmore makes dishwashers, right?
Thank you, radio people. But that's one of the problems. They have a different type of radio.
Well, it is a public safety issue. Is it on the path to being resolved now?
We've had two meetings with the majority of the chief of the fire departments and some of the chief of police throughout the south end of the county. I've physically gone and met with a number of the chief of police through the south end of the county because that seems to be the major problem. But the, right now what we're doing is we're assessing how many radios need to be upgraded, and we're going to try to get our best cost through Motorola. But in the future, what the next Board of Commissioners must do is we must create a council for communication. And on that council would be chiefs of the fire, chiefs of police that would triage these problems before they become a public emergency.
All right. Yeah. We have a moment left to make an additional comment. As I often say to the attorneys running for office, this is your closing argument.
Right. Well, I just come to you hat in hand. I've enjoyed my 4 years. I really have. It's been a learning experience for me. At times, it's been a bumpy road, but I've enjoyed it all. You know, despite some of the negative things that people feel about Northumberland County, I think we have a bright future. I think that people, all that are running, they're coming to the table because they truly think that they can bring Northumberland County forward. And I just hope to be part of that, bring my experience to be part of that. I'm making no promises other than I will continue to work hard and put Northumberland County first.
Kimberly Great. Best, where can go with more information? You have a Facebook, Kimberly Best?
Facebook, Northumberland County Commissioner Kim Best.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks Kim.
For coming.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. We will return to open phones.
A deal with SMC. Sunbury Motors Ford has incredible May deals that will have you cheering too. Just listen. Ford's MVP, the top-selling 2019 F-150 truck, has 0% financing for up to 72 months. Plus, save up to 13 grand off. And SMC has 65 to pick from. 2019 Ford Escape start at 17,485. And SMC has 47 to choose from. Take $7,500 off 2019 Ford Explorers, 8 grand off 2019 Ford Edges and Echo Sports, and a whopping $8,500 off 2019 Ford Escapes. And you can hit a grand slam with up to $12,000 off Ford Expeditions. In May, SMC is better than the ballpark. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones. Matt Leon joins us. Where do the Sixers go from here? 3 to 5 News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show, 1-800-795-9565. Commissioner Best is gone. I cannot extend her stay to take more questions and calls. We can have callers come in after her visit, but I have to stick to 25 minutes per candidate.
30.
Yeah. Dale, go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Yeah, well, we all know Woodmo was a private sector job.
Yeah, it was.
All morning long, I heard elected officials talking about public spending and what they can do to spend more. Do you think that these people's pockets are going to be hurting now that we can't afford more public spending? You think that's our solution, is spending our way out of it?
That's an unanswerable question, but we thank you for calling in with it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, 20 years ago, we used to hear our elected officials or people running for office talking about protecting the private sector and holding back on public spending. Now it's just like they don't even talk about the private sector and they just talk about all public spending. I just think the narrative just totally changed. So,
right, no argument there.
Yeah, I just wanted to think, you know, maybe we should just start building, you know, big high-rises and towers and all like that. And put everybody on public, you know, subsidize all jobs straight off the board, because that's where we're heading. I think we're heading to be New Jersey in a very fast manner. And our republic is the Indian. Don't even have no more backbones, I think.
All right, we got you there. Thank you very much. Yep. A good observation. Appreciate that. On the subject of Commissioner Best's visit...
One of our writers says, I'm hoping the new Board of Commissioners can work together in harmony. This past board, which included Ms. Best, was certainly non-productive. What with all the clashes and obstructiveness and petty bickering, let's hope they can work together for the betterment of the county. Well, I think Commissioner Best did, and you both agreed that about something like 95 or 96% of their votes are unanimous, and mm-hmm. Many things they do agree, but just the ones that they don't agree on are the ones that seem to attract attention.
When they've accomplished things, it's just right. On a 2-to-1 vote.
And another writer says, I've questioned you in the past about this subject. It is in regards to the AOAA, which is the Anthracite Outdoor Adventure Area. Many, many people I've talked to in the past few years are not fans of the AOAA, taking so much of our county taxpayer land with no return in revenue to the county. The miners have to lease the ground to make money. Why not the AOAA? It could be used to reduce our county debt that is added to our taxes every year. You mentioned the possibility of them helping with a fund a 911 center. The last time I questioned this, has that been done? But the commissioner best responded this on the air to us off the air.
To us off the air, but on the record.
Right.
You can repeat what she said.
That they, in lieu of taxes, they do provide a check to the county of $25,000 every year.
For the first time they did.
For the first time they did, right.
And the AOSA, and this is just from talking to the, not from talking to Commissioner Best, but talking to the folks that run it and are operating it. This is the beginning of a legacy of a thriving, booming place around here. And in the years ahead, what they do today in terms of payments in lieu of taxes will grow in the years ahead. So this is the beginning of the 20-year and the 40-year and the 50-year history. And so they are ramped up and they are in the black now. And so right. In the years ahead, they'll provide more revenue.
Yep, they sure will.
So, all right, some very brief news headlines here. It was about 800 workers at Woodmode yesterday laid off unexpectedly. State Senator John Gordner gave us a link, and we posted it, the link to the Rapid Response Team Guide to help those workers. The department's team members will provide information about unemployment, jobless benefits, health and pension benefits, financial credit counseling, training programs, job service assistance, education services, and social service programs. Other state representatives around here also weighed in on this topic, and we heard from Fred Keller on the Newsline earlier today. Snyder County Commissioner Joe Kansas says he'll look at the idea. Was the Warren Act deliberately violated?
I have a phone call in to an attorney on that. I'm not sure if there's anything that the county can do, but that's one of the things that we're looking into.
That law requires a 60-day notice of layoffs. An apology of sorts from Woodmode, saying they truly regret the impact of their action. From a spokesman at Woodmode, hundreds of employees are now on the unemployment line. And yesterday, David Scar tells us they had been seeking financing and their hope of selling the company, but the last minute that fell through. So he says they truly regret the impact of this action to its employees, the community, and its customers. Woodmode shutting down after 77 years of business. So those are the brief news headlines. Oh, plus news that Donald Trump coming to Pennsylvania yesterday was in the news. Yeah, I know I have met Mr. Grunlund once or twice just to be in the same room. You know, we aren't acquaintances, but I know that, you know, this is the kind of thing that...
Which one?
He and the family.
The older or the younger?
Bob Grunlund out there. Is, I think of him as the CEO now. I think of him as the boss now. I'm not sure. I don't even know enough about Woodmode to properly answer the question you just asked, but, you know, I know we see him at, you know, kind of ribbon cuttings and sort of public functions around here. We know that, you know, he lost sleep over this kind of thing, and that, you know, staying in business, if only for the family of the workers. I mean, you would go out there during the United Way days, and you would see a company that wasn't just invested in its workers, but tied to and considered everybody that worked there a family. Now, you can say, well, why would you suddenly lay off a family member? I just think, you know, from good information that we know about him, that's the last thing that they would want to do.
Well, you know, there are exigent circumstances, obviously, in business that you have to deal with, and, you know, but it seems to me that the company had to be aware of the fact that things were difficult. And being aware of that, should they have communicated more to the employees or given them more advance notice? Well, on one hand, you don't want to worry people if there's no need to worry. If you think you've got a handle on it and can solve it, you're not going to get people excited and concerned, you know, and possibly have them looking for other jobs. Because in a business like that, your workforce, they're skilled craftsmen. You don't want to let them go, or you don't want them not being around. That's why I asked the question to Representative Keller about whether or not the state had any program available to help companies over the short term when they have a situation like this to keep them from going out of business or shuttering and sending their employees into the unemployment line. One of our writers says Joe's question about whether there's anything the state can do to help Woodmode reopen was excellent. Did anyone else find it troubling that Fred Keller didn't seem to know the answer? Isn't that the sort of thing he should know? And another writer, Duffy, says maybe Colonel Culver can sponsor a Woodmode Day to add to the wonderful legislation she and others have sponsored to get $18 to $20 an hour family-sustaining jobs. Oops, sorry, I forgot. The Thruway will take care of that. Signed, Duffy.
1-800-795-9565. We're talking about Wood Mode. We talked about President Trump coming to the Valley, so we can continue that discussion. But we have open phones right now and four open lines. We talked about Wood Mode. We had Commissioner Best here, so perhaps somebody has a comment or a reaction to her remarks. And one of our listeners sent me a text, says, don't stick up for the Grunlund family. I assure you, I'm not sticking up for them. I'm just saying, if Ben Reichle said it best last week, there's a huge difference between putting your name on the front of the check than there is on the back of the check. I know, I've asked Bob Zimmerman this when we did an interview a couple of weeks ago or months ago about being in business. And he said, this is the kind of stuff you lose sleep over. He does not just employ the 60 or 80 people that are in the shops. It's the 60 or 80 families. That's what you think about and you lose sleep about and you worry about. And so just from that privately owned company to the one at Woodmote, I think you can transfer that this is a moment of significant angst on their part, too, and that this was probably the last resort. So, but again, we don't know. We have calls into them. We hope they return them, and hopefully they're paddling like crazy underneath to make, to get some, to keep this going.
Well, look at Boscov's, another family-owned business that was in dire straits a few years ago, and then Al Boscov, who came out of retirement and took it back over from certain members of the family, unfortunately, he'd passed away, but now it seems like the heirs to the Boscov family that are running it now seem to be true to his vision. And that's why I think that, a privately held company like this, there should be some help available. Boscov's availed themselves of what help they could. They tried to renegotiate different things. They tried to get property taxes lowered. I remember there was something they asked for that Snyder County wouldn't give them. I forget what that was, if you recall that. But, they did everything
they could. They had to co-sign a loan.
Was that it? They did everything they could to try and keep the business afloat while they worked on the problems. And I think that's a model, and as I think Commissioner Best pointed out, what the state did with Sunray Cheese to keep them rebuilding in Sunbury. It seems like there is help available. The question is, why wasn't it made available in this instance? Was it that it wasn't asked for or that it didn't quite meet the criteria?
Well, and since it's a private company, you don't know what's happening. You don't know where they are. You don't know what kind of debt, if any, that they have. You don't know, if the company's sort of upside down, as to use an analogy that you might use
If they were debt-free, I don't think the bankers would have hesitated to loan them enough money.
Exactly. You don't know. I mean, are they behind in their bills? Are they flush? Do they have orders or have orders plummeted? A potential buyer.
Stories I saw said from somebody who apparently worked there and should know that they have orders, that the problem is a cash flow problem. If that's all it is a cash flow problem, somebody should have been able to help them.
Well, okay. 1-800-795-9565. We'll take comments on this. I do not see in the subject line of the emails anything else related to Wood Mode, so we may have another topic when we return shortly here on WKOK. We do have open lines, 1-800-795-9565.
You've heard of bumper stickers, window stickers, even pot stickers.
Mm.
But none of those can save you money on your next new Kia. It's the Summer Sticker Sales Event at Sunbury Motors Kia. Look for a sticker and save. The Summer Sticker Sales Event. Get 0% APR financing for 66 months and up to $2,000 additional cash on specially marked 2019 models. Sunbury Motors Kia has a 2019 Kia Sportage LX, now just $22,999.
Save nearly $4,000.
A 2019 Kia Sorento LX, priced at $23,999.
Save over $5,000.
Or lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $199.82 a month for only 24 months. And all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Passing through KMF. Lease term 24 months. 10,000 miles per year. $2,300 total due signing. Taxes, tax action. Offer expires 7/119. Warranty is limited powertrain. Warranty for details to retailer. Go to Kia.com.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We're talking about Wood Mode and the implications, the reaction, and the what-ifs. Cindy's on the line. Thank you so much for calling in, Cindy.
Well, first, good morning. First, I want to say I applaud the Midwest School District Board for the decision they made last night to retreat from raising taxes and make an effort to have a more palatable property tax for their constituents next year. I applaud them. They have rapidly, I'm amazed, but rapidly responded to a change in the circumstances in their community, and I applaud them for making that choice. I'm sure there will be people who will find fault with it. I think they did the right thing, and I want to say that publicly.
Yeah, you got to play with the cards you're dealt.
Exactly. And the last thing anybody needs is for their government to shove their head underwater when they're facing challenges. So good for the board. They'd made the right choice. And I want to tell the people to whom this has happened, who might be listening, that this happened to my family. We walked this ugly road. I know how frightening it is and how scary it is. And you just have to make the right choices, make the hard ones sometimes, and get to the other side of this. I believe that you'll find another position, and while you may not earn as much as you did currently, that certainly happened to us, in time you may find yourself in a better place. So my heart goes out to you all, and I want you to know that many of us understand how hard this is right now.
I appreciate that. Yeah, well, it was unusual to hear Joe Kantz talking about first the governor's rapid response team, and then the call for prayer yesterday for, you know, to help people, which I appreciate that. I think that's noteworthy to hear that, because a lot of this, you know, a lot of this is sort of mental. You know, of course, it's physical to try to balance your checkbook with less revenue, but it's mental to try to cope. You know, people like to be the breadwinner in their family, and if you can't do that, that's a burden. So.
Well, and in my family's case, when my husband was out of nowhere. Same kind of thing, out of nowhere. In fact, he was stiffed for a week's pay, which is how I discovered what was happening before he got home. So, I get how hard this is. I really do. And it puts a big strain on marriages. It's frightening. You never think this kind of thing can happen to you. But I just want you to know that you can rise above this. Don't let it pull your legs out from under you. Make those hard choices and turn to the people around you for support, and get out there and find yourself another position. The good news is there are other positions in our community, and I hope that it works out for all of the folks to find another position in a timely fashion.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Cindy. Appreciate the call, Cindy.
Thanks.
Now we got a couple minutes left in the show.
All right. One of our writers says, Al Boscov negotiated a tax reprieve from counties in his realm. Snyder County was the only county to refuse his proposal, a real slap in the face for a business that is very community-oriented. He managed to pay back his tax reprieve with interest to the counties who agreed. So much for Joe Kantz and the Snyder County Board. Bob says, good morning. The fact that our current this is a different topic. Do we want to go on here?
Well, okay. You might as well.
Bob says, good morning. The fact that our current president gets up in the morning and starts tweeting about 6 a.m. and watches TV until noon goes to show he isn't doing his job. When he comes to Pennsylvania to talk about Fred Keller, everyone should boycott him. He has done nothing great for the United States of America. He is trying to start a war with Iran and all over the world. It is sad but true that everything he touches dies or goes bankrupt. His trade war with China is really going to hurt every American except the 1%. Remember this, our stock market is crashing. We are losing jobs. We might be seeing Susquehanna Valley Mall close. How many jobs are there? Right now it's wood mode. Tomorrow only knows. Signed, Bob.
All right. Thank you for that. And finally, on an upbeat note, one of our listeners sends us a note.
Says, some engineering students, again, in University in Erie, have invented a snow removal machine that works overnight to clear your sidewalks. Hurrah.
Says Dave on the Hill. My lovely bride has a snow removal machine that works overnight.
Yeah, you.
She comes out in the morning, and guess what?
Well, I mean, the president is coming. You know, to say that he's done nothing ignores the fact that in the polls that have come out recently, his personal approval rating has gone up, and his approval rating for the handling of the economy is above 50%. So, I mean, I think most people realize that he is trying to do what's necessary. I mean, we can't let China continue to steal our intellectual property and dump cheap goods in our market to the harm of American workers. We just can't allow it.
Right. Yeah, well, and it's a tough stance, and there are victims here. You know, we hear about various industries, but there are some industries around here that say, okay, well, this is our opportunity. This is the level playing field that we were hoping for, so we can get back in X business, you know, whatever that happens to be. All right, to be continued. We'll be back tomorrow. We expect to hear from Joe Kantz at some point with more of the clearinghouse of help for the workers. Who knows? Maybe we'll know more about what happened to Woodmode, sort of the backstory in the hours and days ahead. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury, WDKOK News Time. It is 10 a.m. time for the Dan Patrick Show.